Hail, the Frenchmen all muttered to themselves as they spotted the women meant to become their brides. So very pale were the girls that their skin reddened and blistered within moments of enduring the hot subtropical sun. Clutching their casket-shaped chests in tight grips, the young women were brought to their new home. Excerpt from GhostCityTours.com. My name is Becca Reiswig, and you're listening to So That's What Happened, a podcast where I share some of my favorite stories. History is full of engaging and fascinating topics, whether we go back to the dawn of time or only a few years ago. So settle in as we explore one of my favorites. Before we get into the story, I just want to say a couple things. First off, I was absolutely blown away by the response this podcast has already received. Thank you so much for all of the listens, and a special thank you to those of you who reached out to let me know how much you have been enjoying these stories. It really does mean the world to me. And a super special thank you to my patrons over on patreon.com. I cannot properly express what your financial support as I take my first halting steps into a career in storytelling means to me. Now then, on to today's story. Some people may already be familiar with the New Orleans Casket Girls in terms of their connections to the legends of New Orleans vampires. While I do find those stories fascinating, we're going to look instead into the real girls behind the legends, why they were in New Orleans, and the impact they had on the city outside of pop culture references. I'm going to be diving into the murky waters of colonialism, so for the sake of today's story, let's leave all of the dubious elements of it aside and concentrate solely on the young ladies who uprooted their lives to travel across the Atlantic to be brides for men they had never met. New Orleans is a truly fascinating and diverse city, a true melting pot of cultures and peoples. Personally, I have great affection for the city. Walking any of her streets is like walking back in time. The history there is celebrated in a way not many other cities do. And don't even get me started on the absolutely gorgeous cemeteries. So, before we get into our story, let's take a brief look at the founding of New Orleans so we can better understand the world our protagonists found themselves in. The Mississippi Valley area was first explored by Europeans in the early 1500s by the Spanish. They did some mapping and some spreading of disease, but didn't settle in the area. In the late 1600s, the French rediscovered, if you will, the area that would become Louisiana and Mississippi, and claimed it for King Louis IV, recognizing the importance of holding the entrance to the Mississippi River. However, it was not until 1718 that the colony of New Orleans was established by Jean-Baptiste Le Moyne de Bienville. May 7th is the traditionally celebrated anniversary, but the precise date is unknown. Only a year later, the first slaves from West Africa arrived. Now, let's jump ahead real quick to 1763, when France ceded Louisiana to Spain. By all accounts, the people of New Orleans seem to have collectively agreed, no, we're still French. They even went so far as to send a delegation to Paris to ask France to reclaim the territory. King Louis XV said, no, Spain is in control. It wasn't until 1803 that France regained control of Louisiana, and then Napoleon promptly sold the entire territory to the fledgling United States for $15 million. So there we have a very brief look at the bones of colonial-era New Orleans. There's a lot we skipped over in that nearly 100-year chunk of history. I recommend looking into it on your own. Truly fascinating stuff. I highly recommend going to New Orleans to experience the history yourself. As I said, the city has done an amazing job of keeping their history alive. Next, let's take a quick look at somewhere else where there were colonial-era mail-order brides, specifically Jamestown, in the early 1620s. History gave these ladies a fun nickname as well, though not one as full of mystique. They were later called the Tobacco Wives. Alright, let's think for a second. Who was settling Jamestown? Well, the answer is predominantly single men looking to get rich. Next question. How does a settlement survive when it is comprised of almost entirely single men? Answer, it doesn't. There is an inherent lack of longevity that comes with the fact that one generation in, there is no more settlement. Also, because without having a family to hold them in the New World, many English settlers would come to Jamestown, make their money, and go back to England to establish a family. The Virginia Company answered this problem by offering passage, clothes, and even a plot of land to single women willing to go to the colony. Once a woman chose a husband, he would then pay back the company in tobacco, hence the name, the Tobacco Wives. 146 ladies answered the call between 1620 and 1622. Most of the women who participated were in positions where they could not amass a dowry to attract a husband, so the Virginia Company's offer would have been quite enticing. And while living in the new colony was dangerous, for a woman who likely would not be marrying for love anyway, and likely had no family or other prospects, there wasn't much they were giving up. While the whole system seems quite bizarre to me from a modern standpoint, according to what I've read, it was actually a more attractive option to many women than their current circumstances in England were, despite the dangers. Now that we've looked very briefly at the history of New Orleans and established that the mail-order bride colonial system was a tested one, let's look at who the casket girls were. Before we do anything else, I'd like to dispel the largest myth around them. These French girls did not arrive in New Orleans lugging caskets with them. They brought all of their personal possessions in small bags or trunks, called a casquette. Think old world equivalent of an overnight bag or like a large backpack. They were nowhere near large enough to hold a corpse or whatever else the legends claim. If there are vampires in New Orleans, odds are good that they cannot trace their origin back to these ladies in particular. So, who were the infamous casket girls if not vampires or their thralls? Well, the first attempt to gain wives to the French outposts along the Mississippi brought women from French jails and brothels. According to the religious leaders of the time, these ladies did not make good wives for the colonists. The next step was recruiting from orphanages and convents. In 1728, these church-approved marriageable women arrived in New Orleans. They settled into the Ursuline Convent, where nuns taught them and prepared them to become housemakers. Here is where we come to the second legend about the casket girls. There's a story that the third floor of the convent has all of its windows boarded shut to prevent vampires from getting in or out, depending on the version of the story that's being told. However, according to tour guides, they're just normal hurricane shutters that can be opened and were installed actually fairly recently. These women likely did take part in taming the region, though. The men who were settling New Orleans and Louisiana at large were predominantly traders and trappers. They were outdoorsmen who likely spent long stretches of time away from the settlement, something that long-term doesn't really work when you're establishing a city. So, wives were needed. Families were needed. And indeed, after the arrival of the casket girls, the population did experience a boom. There is also something to be said for the psychological aspect of having families in the city. It would encourage the settlers who are regularly leaving for their livelihoods to return, but it also would have sent a message to prospective colonists that it was a place where they could raise a family. As neat as the idea of vampires coming to New Orleans via girls specifically chosen by the church to be suitable wives for the colonists is, the legend and myth surrounding the New Orleans casket girls is entirely fabricated. In truth, we really don't know much about who these women were and what exactly they did for New Orleans, something which does help the myth survive. In the end, they were women who were uprooted from the lives they knew and dumped in a new world, a new colony that they knew nothing about, and that seems to have not cared overly much for them. While they left their mark in the history of New Orleans, their story seems to have been largely forgotten. So, that's what happened. While much of the truth of the story is lost, there are countless fictional versions of who the New Orleans casket girls were. They fascinate the curious and inspire the morbid for seemingly no real reason that is tied to who they actually were. The Ursuline Convent is a regular stop for ghost tours in New Orleans simply because these girls lived there. Trying to find a nonfiction book about them is pretty much impossible, and if you have, please let me know. I would love to get my hands on a factual account in the form of an entire book, as opposed to the articles which I referenced for this story. That being said, if you'd like to know more, I found The History of the Casket Girls of New Orleans by Edward Brantley from Gonola.com, How French Casket Girls Were Forced into the New World to Tame the Male Settlers by Andrew Milne from AllThat'sInteresting.com, and The Truth About the Casket Girls in New Orleans from TheGhostCityTours.com to be very helpful. Additionally, History.com has a great article about the Jamestown Brides called When the Jamestown Colony Placed Ads to Attract Brides by Becky Little. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating and reviewing it, as well as subscribing. And if you'd like to directly help me, you can head over to patreon.com/sothatswhathappened or click the link in the show notes. If you have any topics you'd like to hear me cover, or questions or comments about this or past stories, send an email to sothatswhathappenedpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find me over on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook as STWHpodcast. When given no other option in life, these women ushered in the era of colonialism in New France. In doing so, they also helped build a society distinct from the native people who occupied the land, but also different from the old world society in France. Andrew Milne.